Turn now to that Psalm 23, as we continue looking through this. As mentioned before, we're going to basically be taking a verse at a time, and you'll recall if you were here last Sunday that we were introduced to the psalm by placing it in its context, looking at its placement in the Psalter, and also looking briefly, if you will, at the structure of the psalm, very broad terms, noting especially that it begins with the Lord and it ends with the Lord. And that there at the center of the psalm is intentionally the central message, a theme of the psalm, and those beautiful words, you with me. And we noted the author of this beautiful psalm is also the sweet psalmist of Israel, David himself. And you see that again in the title of the psalm there in Psalm 23, a psalm of David. So we're going to read through this again and then especially give attention to verse 1. But first we need to pray. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we turn once again this day on your day, this day of rest and gladness, this day of worship, as we turn our attention to your word, we ask that you would open our eyes, that we might behold wonderful things from your law. We thank you for this word to us. We thank you for the Psalms, and in particular, Psalm 23. We thank you for David and how in this psalm he points us to Christ. And may we see Jesus here, that wonderful and beautiful message of our Savior. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you're able, I invite you to stand for the reading of this well-known and well-loved psalm. I invite you to stand for the reading of Psalm 23. And let's give attention now to God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Now, from the psalm itself, from the information around the psalm, we don't know exactly when David wrote this psalm, but we do know that it encompasses and speaks to so much of what we know of David's life. David as the shepherd boy, David on the run, David as the king, all of that. And it is indeed this psalm, Psalm 23, it is a psalm for all of life. So let's think of some of those things. Behind this psalm of David are the years of David's youth, those years when he was a shepherd himself, shepherding his father's flock. Those days when he knew his father's sheep, every one of them by name. And they knew him. And he fed them in green pastures, and he led them to the waters, and he led them out of danger, and he protected them. And you remember even willing to lay down his life for the sheep, taking on a bear at one point, taking on a lion at another occasion to save the life of a sheep. This is the song of a shepherd. Behind this psalm are those days spent in Saul's court, where David would sing and make sweet music for Saul to calm his troubled spirit. Those days that nevertheless ended in violence, when at least two times that we're aware of, an attempt was made on David's life by the king. And then those subsequent years where David was on the run, as the king of Israel, as Saul was hunting him down and his army was after him seeking to kill him. Years spent in caves, years out in the wilderness, years on the run. This is the song of a fugitive. Behind this psalm are God's bountiful blessings as he then anoints David as king over Israel. And he delivers him from the hand of Saul, his enemy. And he gave him his master's house and his master's wives into his keeping. And he gave him the house of Israel and Judah and was willing and desirous to give him so much more. This is the song of a king. Behind this psalm are David's sins. He spurned God's gifts. He broke God's law. He sinned against this God who had given him everything. He killed Uriah the Hittite by the sword. He took Bathsheba. He took Bathsheba to be his own wife. This is the psalm of an adulterer and a murderer. This is a psalm of a sinner. Behind this psalm of David is his repentance, the tears with which he watered his couch, the brokenness of his bones, the sapping of his vitality, the crushing of his spirit, the bruising and brokenness of his heart, the utter disappointment and with himself. This is the song of a penitent. Behind this psalm is God's forgiveness. The shedding of blood for the forgiveness of his sin, the covering of his sin, the joy of God's forgiveness, the peace of reconciliation with God. This is the song of one who's been forgiven and restored. Behind this psalm are the trials and the tears of life, the death of an infant son, the violation of his daughter Tamar by his son Amnon, the death of his son Amnon by the hand of his brother Absalom, the subsequent rebellion of his son Absalom, and eventually the death of his son Absalom. This is the song of a man familiar with sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yet this is not a psalm of brokenness. This is a song that makes one whole. This is a song that makes one whole. And you see that already in the way in which this psalm of David begins. He starts with those beautiful words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, literally in the original, if we were to place it maybe a little bit woodenly, but as literally as we could, "The Lord shepherds me." The Lord shepherds me. And here, good to note as well, David uses the covenant name of the Lord, Yahweh, the name by which the Lord had revealed himself to Moses. You recall that, revealing himself as Yahweh to Moses at the burning bush. And you remember what Moses was doing at the time, shepherding the flocks of his father, of his father-in-law, that is. And God appeared to him there at the burning bush and revealed his name, "I am who I am." This is the great and infinite and eternal God, the self-existent God. This is the one who is high and lifted up. "I am who I am," the great God of the universe. And yet David says of this great and high and mighty God, "I am who I am," he says of him, "He is my shepherd." He's a shepherding Lord. And David's choice of words here describing the Lord as a shepherd is a striking choice. It's a fitting one. It's a striking one. David's not the first one to come up with this term for God, though. God had, in fact, revealed himself as a shepherd. God had revealed himself as a shepherd many years before David, already to the patriarchs and specifically to Jacob. And so if you were to go back to Genesis 48:15, that's where Jacob is blessing his son Joseph near the end of Jacob's life. He's blessing Joseph before he dies, and it's Jacob who reflects on his life and all the ups and downs and trials and deceit, and he says literally, "God has been a shepherd all my life. God has been a shepherd all my life." Now you understand something of the significance of this then. Jacob, though he was a patriarch, you remember going through the story of Genesis and the life of Jacob, he certainly didn't rise to the level of Isaac, certainly not to the level of Abraham. Jacob was no paragon of virtue. He was a sinful man, a broken man, one who cheated his brother Esau out of the birthright, one who deceived his father to obtain the blessing of the firstborn, and he lived so much of his life that way, cheating and deceiving and in fear. Fear, even though God had promised that he would bring him back to the land. And you remember when Jacob returned to the land, how he feared for his life because of his sin. And near the end of his life, when he met with the Pharaoh of Egypt, remember how he described his life to the Pharaoh of Egypt? "My days have been few and evil." The short summary of his own life. Now, this is the man with whom David identifies, with Jacob, a broken and a sinful man. But even more than that, David is identifying not so much with Jacob, although he does do that, but he's identifying with Jacob's God. And who is this God? But as even Jacob said, a shepherd, a shepherding God. Now, David could have said a lot of things about the Lord. He could have said, the Lord is my creator, the Lord is my maker, the Lord is my keeper, the Lord is my refuge, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my song, the Lord is my shield. And in many other places, he says exactly those things. But not here. Here he focuses on this one thing, the Lord is my shepherd. He focuses on the Lord as a shepherd. And so here, the king of Israel, as he reflects on his life, sees himself not as some great, powerful, mighty king to be honored, to be esteemed, to be recognized, but as he calls the Lord his shepherd, he sees himself as a sheep. And sheep are one of the most dependent of all creatures. Sheep quickly go astray. That's what they do. They're always going astray, often to their own destruction, to their own ruin. Sheep are rather foolish creatures. They don't know where to find food, and they have to be led to food. And sometimes when the food's in front of them, they leave and turn away from the very place where they could eat. Sheep quickly get lost. They don't know how to find their way back again. Sheep are defenseless creatures. They have virtually nothing with which to defend themselves from their enemies. And yet, in spite of all of this, in spite of the fact that they go astray, in spite of what we might call their foolishness, and in spite of the fact of getting lost, in spite of their defenselessness, sheep can be one of the most stubborn of all creatures. They do not easily submit. And so now, here is David, the great king of Israel, and he lands on this. I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep. How often I strayed, how foolish I am, how often I lost my way, how utterly defenseless and how stubborn of heart I have been. And David says all this not because he's focused so much on himself and a low view of himself, but he says these things because he's focused on God and he has a high view of God. Yes, I'm a sheep, and that says something about me. But the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord shepherds me. And that says far more about him. And the psalm ultimately is not about David, is it? It's about David's Lord. It's a psalm for all of us. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. And what is a shepherd but one who binds himself to his sheep? The shepherd is everything to a sheep. Sheep without a shepherd are lost and they die. You remember the days of Jesus' earthly ministry. He would look at the crowds as he would enter into Jerusalem, and he would have a pity on them and compassion on them. Why? Well, because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. That's the most dangerous and fearful thing for a sheep, to be without a shepherd. But it is the most comforting thing for a sheep to have a shepherd. Notice that's what David says here in this first statement. The Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is the shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord identifies with me. The Lord's bound himself to me. In fact, in the Hebrew, it comes through even more poignantly and beautifully. The word my in Hebrew is a word that is simply a suffix added to the participle shepherd. And all that means is that basically you have shepherd and my literally bound together in one word in the Hebrew. There's not even a space between the words. And David's great comfort is pictured in that very thing. And it's this: there's nothing between my shepherd and me. He's bound himself to me that closely. My identity is bound up in him. I am his treasure. The remarkable thing to David, certainly, and the remarkable thing to us is this. Even though our shepherd knows us, even though he knows how often we stray, he knows how foolish we can be, he knows how often we get lost, he knows our defenselessness, he knows how stubborn we are, even though he knows us, he has bound himself to us as our shepherd. And in light of what we looked at in Exodus, perhaps it's better to say, because he knows us, he's bound himself to us as our shepherd. In all of his dealings with us, he is a shepherd to us. Oh, that we might learn to see all of his dealings with us in this light. Beloved sheep of the Good Shepherd, he knows you. He cares for you. He holds you. He loves you. One author said, he is as much yours as though there were not another sheep of his flock. He goes on to say, all of his care, all of his attention, all of his love is upon you, his sheep. This is who he is to you. And this is who he will always be to you. He will never be anything but a shepherd to you. And you see the result of that. You find that in the last phrase of verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Literally again, the Lord shepherds me, nothing shall I lack. The Lord shepherds me, nothing shall I lack. And the verb is, we were talking about tenses this morning and how wonderful it is that the Lord inspired even those. And the verb here is put in the imperfect tense, and it simply means an incomplete action. And so what David is saying is this: I know not the path that is before me. I don't know the steps he's going to have me take. I don't know the path which I must walk, but I know this. The Lord shepherds me. The Lord is my shepherd. And because he is my shepherd, no matter what comes, no matter what he brings, I lack nothing and never will. Now, we've just finished Exodus, but it's in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that Moses reflects on those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And I think you remember enough of the features of that wandering in the wilderness, the consequences of their own sin. They were hard years. They were terrible years. How many deaths took place as the wilderness was littered with the graves of God's people. And yet Moses can look back on all of that and say, the Lord has been a shepherd to you. It doesn't mean it's been easy, but he's not left you. He's not forsaken you. And this is what David is saying here. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we can trust him. We can trust him so much that we need not doubt that he will provide whatever we need for soul, for body. I shall not want. And he'll turn to our good whatever adversity he does send us in this sad world. And because he is our shepherd, we know that he holds us in his hand and that he provides for us with his almighty power, and that all things come to us not by chance, but all things come to us by the hand of our good shepherd. The result of that is that we can be patient in affliction. We can be thankful in prosperity. And as we look to the future, we can have a good confidence that nothing can separate us from our shepherd. Because all creatures are so completely in his hand that apart from his will, they can neither move nor be moved. I lack nothing. Not because of who I am, but because of who my shepherd is. He is a shepherd to us. We are sheep to him. He is not in any way dependent on us, but we are in every way dependent upon him. And he doesn't fail. And he supplies our every need. One author put it this way, put it very wonderfully. He said, to the troubled heart, he imparts peace. To the weary, rest. To the penitent, pardon. To the hungry, food. To the blind, sight. To the sick, health. To the weak, strength. To the tempted, deliverance. To the foolish, wisdom. To the guilty, righteousness. To the proud, humility. To the censorious, charity. To the bereaved, submission. In a word, to the living, he can administer undying hope. And to the dying, endless life. He supplies all our needs. He supplies all our needs. But maybe you're thinking, what about those times in life when he doesn't? When it seems otherwise? When it feels like you're a sheep without a shepherd? When you're in the wilderness and when you're in a dark place and the path is filled with thorns and you're bruised and you're bleeding and you're broken and you're wondering, where is my shepherd? Where is my shepherd? I'm lost. I'm frightened. I'm afraid. No matter how barren the wilderness, no matter how dark the night, no matter how sharp the thorns, no matter how bruised and broken you may be, don't think for a moment that your shepherd has lost you. That's the lie of the devil. Your shepherd will never, never lose your soul. You're his precious lamb, and he loves you. And while you may not understand this way in which he brings you, he does. And really, that's all we need to know, isn't it? That's all we really need to know. Because he is your shepherd, and you are his sheep, and he loves you. He loves you so much, in fact, that he gave his life for you. And that's what Jesus says, doesn't he, in John 10. Remember a few months back as we worked our way through John and this great I am statement, and it's fitting that we go to Jesus because ultimately, of course, he is the one of whom David is speaking of here in Psalm 23. And remember how Jesus tells us that in the 10th chapter of John's gospel, in that great I am statement. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus, the good shepherd, is the one who holds you. And you think of the imagery here of a shepherd holding one of his beloved lambs. You're the lamb, and Jesus is your good shepherd. And he will feed his flock like a shepherd. And he will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them. And he gently leads those with young. It's not the sheep who hold on to the shepherd. They're not very good at doing that. It's the shepherd who holds on to the sheep. What a comfort that is. As one song puts it so well, I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. And that's what he does, and that's what he promises to do, because our Savior loves us so, he holds us fast and will never, never let us go. Really, what other comfort could David have than this? What other comfort is there ultimately? Is this comfort yours? Who is the Lord to you? Can you say with David, he's my shepherd, the Lord's my shepherd? And I ask you that question because if you're not able to say that, then you are a sheep without a shepherd. And that is the most dangerous and fearful place to be. It spells certain ruin. Because without Jesus, the good shepherd, there is no comfort. And let me remind you that when Jesus looked upon the crowds in the time of his earthly ministry, even as we saw there in the Gospel of John, he saw the sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. And he has compassion on you today because he calls you now to come to him and to follow the good shepherd. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they would turn to him and live. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should believe and find life in his name. And so may God give every one of us, may God give every one of us grace to hear his voice, to know our shepherd, to follow him, because having Jesus as your shepherd, you really do have everything you need for today and tomorrow and all of life and all of eternity. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord shepherds me, nothing shall I lack. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we are so thankful that you have revealed yourself to us in your word this way, as a shepherd of your sheep. We thank you that you have bound yourself to us. We thank you for that word of promise and assurance that no one can ever snatch us out of your hand, that we are held in the hand of Jesus, and his hand is held in the Father's hand, and nothing can snatch us out of your hand and his hand. And so, Father, would you give us grace to hear the voice of our Savior and give us grace to follow him? And may we, with David of old, say that because the Lord is our shepherd, we lack nothing. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for your everlasting love. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.